Hi, everyone. Maybe before we get started, how many of you do know about ham radio? This is kind of the topic of the room, I know, but still, OK? And how many of you are ham radio licensed? Nice. OK, good. I still have included a small introduction.
Please put up your hands again, though, for your license.
License operators, please. All right. So I still have a brief presentation and introduction to the topic for you. Your experience with ham radio might not be my experience, so I think this introduction is interesting. And then we will have a brief overview of what ham radio and open source means. Not everybody understands open source the same way, especially, I think, in ham radio community. You will see that open source in ham radio did face and does face a few obstacles. We will pinpoint a few of those. We will see the workarounds. And then finally, we will talk about M17, which is the project that I want to talk about today. So first, who am I? So I'm a research engineer at the University of Liège in Belgium. I do mainly embedded systems and RF. I'm a licensed ham radio operator for 2 years now, call sign Oscar November 4, Mike Oscar Delta. I joined the M17 project 1 year ago, right after FOSDEM. Wow. And I mostly do hardware design, some of which you can see on the table in front of you. We'll go back to that later, and work on firmware. Okay. Amateur radio, I think you, then almost everybody knows about this logo for ham radio. This is a technical hobby. The goal is to experiment, to play around, to have your hands dirty. It allows you to legally transmit on certain frequencies which are allocated to amateur radio operations, and which you cannot do if you don't have your license, of course. The hobby is extremely vast. So you have operators which will do what we call DX, which is reaching the furthest away on the globe using lowest power or specific modes, frequencies, whatever, which is called working the bands. You have people which are dedicated in antennas, transceivers, reception, transmission, whatever. It's very, very, very vast. And I think most of you also know that the mainstream products come from just a few brands, ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, and then that's pretty much it. And you have the Chinese brands, and usually your typical ham radio, Joe operator or whatever doesn't know about those Chinese brands. So open source in amateur radio, well, this is a bit controversial, a bit difficult to describe, but the ham spirit, which lives in every one of us, have always been about sharing design, ideas, discoveries, the problems we encountered, and how we did solve them. You could call that open source knowledge, maybe, which is not to be confused with the fact that most digital voice protocols that we use have published specifications, which means that if you dig deep enough in whatever search engine you use, you will probably find specifications for those protocols. That does not mean they are free and open source, which is very important. And this is kind of the goal of this presentation. So yeah. Some protocols are freely available. Some of you know about a few of those. So AX25, which is amateur adaptation of the X25 protocol, which mainly works on VHF and UHF, so above 30 megahertz. Which is not designed for voice, of course. It's digital, but mainly data, bits, let's say. And D-Star, which is what most of us could consider open source protocol for amateur radio. It is the first protocol really created for amateur radio usage. So it is designed from the ground up with amateur radio in mind. It is open specifications, so from the start, they decided to publish the specifications, mostly in Japanese, so this can be an obstacle. Maybe if you speak Japanese, it's easier for you. I don't know. YSF, Yaesu's proprietary mode. Specifications can be found online, but that's pretty much it. You have to have a Yaesu radio to do YSF. FT4, FT8, just an example of a few modes that are used. Very slow speed, very long range, very low power on HF, so very, very low frequencies. And this kind of illustrates a point I'm going to go to. Then you have, of course, DMR, Tetra, P25, all those commercial protocols which have been adopted by amateur radio, which are not designed for amateur radio. The main thing is, and especially when you talk about FT4, FT5 and such protocols, there are many of them, those have only one closed source implementation. You are not, it's not easy to play around with it. You can just, okay, I'm downloading this, trying to modify this, is it better, is it worse? The way you play around is, okay, which power do I need to reach this country in this weather or whatever, which is not what is suitable to each and every one of us. So we will briefly take D-Star as an example. So released by Japanese amateur radio club JARL in Japan in 2001. It uses AMBE codec vocoder from DVSI. So very briefly, vocoder, you know that voice is very complex signal. You need a lot of bits to transmit the voice. But amateur radio protocols are slow speed, low bit rate. So you do need to encode the voice into something which is manageable by those digital voice protocols. And the way it is done in the case of D-Star is using the AMBE codec from DVSI. Specifications are publicly available, but there is no license tied to those specifications, which means you do not have to publish whenever you deviate from those specifications. And so it kind of de facto became ICOM's proprietary mode. It is called D-Star, but it is not made to be interoperable with other D-Star implementations, which, by the way, there are not really many other D-Star implementations. So, main obstacles. First, manufacturers exploit the fact that specifications are not really licensed, and so they can find the trick around to lock down their environments. Main obstacle, second part, is technical capabilities. Back in 2001, encoding voice in a microcontroller was not really feasible. That's why you needed an ASIC, so a dedicated chip on the board made by DVSI with their AMBE codec to be able to encode voice into bits manageable by the whatever digital voice protocol you wanted to use. So I'm not spitting at DVSI and AMBE all the way. There is a whole lot of technical reasons why this is that way, but I think it's good to understand where we come from and to see where we can go from there. So also another thing to note is D-Star, YSF, DMR, P25, NXDN, whatever, almost all the digital voice protocols, being amateur radio or even commercial protocols, use AMBE, AMBE 2+, basically AMBE and variants of it from DVSI. Basically one vocoder to rule them all. So how does one tinker with closed source vocoder? You don't. At least not really. But hey, the vocoder is an integral part of the protocol, so how do you do? What do you do? Is it possible to have what we could consider fully fuzz protocol if the vocoder is not open source? And if so, how do you do it? Well, 2001 was, sorry to break it to you, but quite a few years ago. So solution came in 2010. Name is Codec 2, released in 2010 by David Rowe. I want to underline that this was not an easy task. It was the topic of a full PhD thesis, itself relying on old works and algorithms and so on. So nobody woke up a morning and said, hey, let's do an open source vocoder, it's going to be easy. That's not how it goes. It's fully open source, no patents, no industrial secrets. That's the point. And since 2001, computing power on the microcontrollers increased by quite a lot. I mean, 8-bit PICs and 32-bit ARM microcontrollers are not the same thing. So this last brick, which was kind of the missing brick to have open source, fully open source protocols, allowed the emergence of two main protocols. The first one is FreeDV, which is designed by the same David Rowe. He is not alone, but he is one of the contributors of FreeDV, licensed under GPL v2.1, using codec 2 at a lower bit rate, because it's in HF, so low frequencies, narrow bandwidth, you can't transmit a lot of bits, so you just slow it down, you degrade the voice a bit more, but then you're able to do long-range digital voice communications. And it's also used as the reference codec 2 implementation. So again, just like I said about FT4, FT5 a few slides ago, you do something and then you provide your own implementation, except that this one is open source. And then came M17. GPL v2 uses codec 2 at the highest bitrate available. It fits in a standard FM bandwidth for VHF and up, so you can't really use that in HF. It's a bit too wide. You are going to annoy a few people. Published in 2019. So M17 protocol has all the features you could expect from a digital protocol in amateur radio, which is that you have the packet mode, so you can use it to control a remote site, for example, using just sending commands. You have a stream mode, which is the mode which is used when you use digital voice. It supports AES encryption, which, depending on where you live, you might or might not you might or might not use it. I know I can't. It does have also the specifications for traffic over IP, which I think it's a good thing. If you look back, main digital voice protocols do not have that. So the community will kind of go, each one has its own way of doing it and different implementations. And then somebody comes, hey, I have an idea. Let's try to interconnect this. And it's just one more brick to a very tall and fragile wall. So here we provide specifications for this, which I think will ease up, does ease up implementation and interoperation. If you probably know about DMR, to use DMR, you need DMR ID, which is centralized. We don't. In this protocol, you only need a call sign, which if you can use the protocol, you most probably already have a call sign, so problem solved. And the specifications are open source and licensed under GPL v2, which means that if some big manufacturer says, hey, I like this new protocol, let's try to benefit from it. Yeah, great. But if you modify it to make it incompatible with our specifications, we will force you to publish your specifications completely, and we will find a way to make sure that whatever we do next is going to be compatible with you. If you don't want to be compatible with us, we will be compatible with you. Okay, so this was the M17 protocol, but we should go beyond that. There is the whole M17 project thing. More than a protocol, getting rid of the proprietary vocoder allows a load of things. First thing is you can have it running on your computer. You don't have to pay for any license fee. You don't have to have any USB dongle that you have to plug into your computer so that my software has to go through the proprietary chip that you used, blah, 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 blah. You can have software on your computer for D-Star, for example, but you need this USB key on your computer to have the license to use the codec. You can have it on your phone. Same thing, Droid Star. Maybe some of you know about it, maybe not yet. This is a very small app that allows you to use digital voice protocols and connect through reflectors, so servers. And M17 allows it to run straight out of the box. AMBE codec, there are online implementations, illegal implementations that allows you to use AMBE, but you have to find it, download it, and then it becomes very shady, and it's a cat and mouse game between DVSI and amateur radio operators. You can have it for your radio, a lot about that in just 10 minutes, apparently. You can have it on reflectors. Yeah, these star reflectors do need the same USB key that you would need on your computer to translate the voice between AMBE and whatever else you would use. Maybe a small note that if you have a D-star reflector, which is from D-star to D-star, you do not need this key because you do not need to decode the voice and re-encode it. You can just pass the encoded bits around. But if you want to switch from something to something else, then you're stuck. So yeah, it's a whole ecosystem which was able to grow from the ground up because of the open sourceness of Codec 2. Including in this ecosystem module 17, so which is this board, which is open source hardware, open source software, open source protocol, open source almost everything you can wish for. Let me go in the frame of the camera, maybe. So you have the board here, which is the newest revision, 0.99, because you never do the 1.0 in one go. And then the enclosure that goes around with it, because having this on your computer is screaming for, I want short circuit as soon as possible. So let's try to avoid it and put it in an enclosure. Difficult thing is, yeah, when you have open source hardware, making money out of it is difficult, but this exercise is intentionally left to the reader. Yeah, fully open source, affordable. 50 euros, about that. Try to find digital voice modem, TNC, whatever, for that price. I think you will come back to us. OpenHD, another baby which is on its way, not as advanced as Module 17 yet, but it's aimed at being a fully open source portable radio. Basically, if you can modulate it, we can send it. For now, it's only working on the 70 centimeters band, 430 megahertz, and the 2.4 gigahertz. So for those of you who can see QO100 in the sky, it does the upstream to QO100. 25 milliwatts, hey, it's a prototype. Step by step, please. With its 3D printed enclosure, also open source. And very quickly, it relies on a dev board developed by ST Microelectronics, and the backside we did ourselves with the power supply, the FPGA, and the transceiver. FPGA, so you can see maybe a few asterisks on the screen. The FPGA toolchain is sadly not open source. You know maybe if you play with that having open source FPGA is difficult. It is one of our goals. But usually they will provide IPs in their software and then say, yeah, if you want to exploit it commercially, please talk to us before that. So always a bit difficult to deal with that. We have plans for the future, though. We are starting the work to port it over OpenRTX, which you will know about in 6 minutes and a half. We want an open source FPGA. So quick note that maybe the FPGA is not open source, but it does not prevent you from building it yourself, downloading the software, which is free, as in beer, and you can rebuild the bitstream and upload it to the radio. So you can still tinker with it however you want, but it's not strictly speaking open source. We want 5-watt output. We want USB-C charging. Oh my god, I come Jesu, please. So yeah, we have plans. We are not only pushing our protocol in it, but we just want to make products better and open source for the community. I think there is a big hole in ham radio community with this, and we are here to fill it. A quick shout out to some very interesting projects close to M17, the open source firmware called OpenRTX. WPSD, which is the hotspot software that you can use, which supports M17 for, I don't know, a few months back, they started support, contrary to PyStar, which supports M17 for, I don't know, 10 days. MMDVM, the hotspot hardware, so we rely on those to have hotspots which do M17, and there are much more things that revolve around this. Okay, so thank you for your attention. I hope you liked it. I hope it gave you some ideas and desire to join us, help us. We need devs, please. I know everybody does need dev. Check out our info booth, Ham Radio info booth in building AW, but I think most of you already came and say hello. But if you did not, we are still here today. Okay, thank you very much, guys.
So we have some time for questions.
Is the modulation scheme used? Is it GMSK, FSK? Or for FSK with root-raised cosine filtering. So the main chip that you would use is CC1200 from Texas Instruments. Using the packet radio port. Just like you would do for AX25, for example, with your old TNC. So this module basically takes the sound from the microphone, processes it, encodes it using the codec 2 vocoder, does the protocol framing, baseband creation and processing and filtering. You have baseband output here, feed it to your radio, and then the output is 4FSK modulation with 4M modules for M17 protocol. But if you want more, come to our info booth. Yeah.
What FPGA type are you using with your port?
For now, it's a latest. I forgot the one. It's not an ICE40, which has an open source toolchain available. We had some technical issues. We had some technical issues with the FPGA, so the one we use, is Lattice, Certus, something, I guess. But because for the transceiver we use, we needed LVDS pairs for the data transmission.
And
64 megahertz for the LVDS pair speed. Yeah.
You have been addressing some of the shortcomings of all the other modulation schemes and protocols. So letting aside that they are not all open source, but they have other shortcomings, like on UHF there's reflection and there's fading and many other things that you are experiencing outside the lab. Actually, are you also addressing these things with the M17? I mean, is there better quality of voice? Is there better cope with the fading and reflections and things like that?
Okay, there are shortcomings indeed with many digital voice protocols. We are between a rock and a hard place. We use 4FSK modulation scheme, which basically does not allow you to overcome the multipath problems, reflections, and so on. So we are aware of this. We have to go step by step, maybe. Specifications are open. You are free to fork them. And, I don't know, implement it in OFDM to avoid some problems that you might have with specific issues, which is linked to the physical layer. And for the voice quality, some will say that Codec 2 sounds better than AMBE. Some will say that it's worse. It depends, really. But I think it's at least on par with the other protocols. Yeah.
So that's a nice thing. For the intended use case of UHF, have you like curves that or measurements that say, with this and that SNR, I can still do whatever analog voice versus M17, and like how much further can you get with like verse SNR?
Yeah, so this basically boils down to, do we have any graphs, lines explaining basically the difference between analog and digital? Well, this is a wider topic than just M17, but I agree that maybe having those comparisons might be a good idea to push folks into those modes. But no, we don't have those curves at the moment, I believe.
So who in the room helps with that?
Many people, I think, could help, but yeah.
I have still a question, if I can.
Yeah.
That board, and I know I'm on your discussion, so I'm asking you a problem. To
has to experiment with VSTAR is that you can put other data on your channel, but on the current hardware you cannot interface with it.
Okay, so can we send arbitrary data using module 17?
Yeah.
Not yet. Everything is there for you to be able to do it. So the firmware on it is OpenRTX. There is a USB-C port with data lines connected to the chip. So we use it for firmware updates. We use it for STDIO output, for debugging, basically. And yeah, you should be able, in the future it is planned, but Silvano in a few minutes will talk about that, having communication channel between the computer and the board, and then from there you can send basically whatever you want. So yeah, it is feasible. Yeah.
Have any of the large manufacturers showed any interest in putting this in their radios?
Have any large manufacturers showed interest in M17? Yes. We talked with Kenwood, which would be interested in implementing M17. So I pinpoint back to the fact that specifications are licensed GPL V2, so they cannot lock it down for their own use. We also have Connect Systems, which showed an interest in our radios, and Baofeng.
If there are no more questions, and I see no hands rising, big thank you again.
Thank you very much.